Well, it's indeed a delight and honor to be here. I've been praying basically on a weekly basis for this church with Pastor John and for about 8 years now. So it's nice to finally get some faces to the church that we've been praying for. He and a couple other pastors in this community gather on Tuesday mornings, and it's always a joy and a delight. And I know he's had some very challenging road the past couple of years, and so thank you for the support and encouragement that you have done for him. I know that that has meant a lot, and we have done what we could as well as fellow pastors and brothers in Christ. He said I had till about 7 o'clock. Is that right? You can talk to him about that. Let's get him back for the joke on the three porcupines and on the unicorn. But one of the things that I'm wanted to do is just bring you a message from the word that I gave this morning at the church at United E-Free, where I pastor. And this summer, we're going through the spiritual gifts, all the different spiritual gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians and Romans and Peter and Ephesians. And tonight, we are going to be talking about a discernment. So you'll find out whether or not your pastor has discernment in asking a friend of his to come fill the pulpit for him on July 4th or not. Hopefully you'll get a sense of that. Where's the clicker, or what do I need to do to advance?
The white.
Oh, that, this?
And you just hit the page up and down button. The
page up and down. Let's see.
Where. It'll be towards spot.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. All right. Discernment. And I don't know if you realize this, but as part of my study, one of the things that I learned is discernment really comes as a spiritual gift that kind of complements the gift of prophecy. And basically, that's what we covered last week, so I'm not going to take you through two sermons in 1 week, but I'll distill the prophecy for my study. I think really what, if you can distill it all down to what prophecy means in the scriptures, it means timely truth. Have you ever been in a situation, whether it's someone give a scripture or they say something or a message that you hear or something that comes on your email, and it's just like the Spirit of God just says, wow, this is for you right now, right? I think that that's what the spiritual gift of prophecy is. Having said that, sometimes though we get messages from people or from this world that seem to be timely, but the question is this really from the Lord? Right? You know, sometimes you're not quite sure. It could be, you know, a convicting word or a convicting challenge. And is this really the Satan trying to beat me up? Or is this God trying to say, pay attention, I've got it covered by the blood of Christ. You are forgiven, but you do need to confess your sins. So that's kind of what the purpose of discernment is. And why is it so important? It's because the scriptures, the word of God, the gospel is built entirely on the foundation of truth. Any little bit of error starts to just weave its way into a person's heart and his life, and it starts to lead them astray. And so one of the things the Holy Spirit has done, and what God has done through the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, is give various spiritual gifts to people in the church. And one of those gifts is discernment. And there are a lot of messages out there in this world, right? There are a lot of things that are impacting the church, that are affecting people's lives, their spiritual well-beings. I came up with three here recently. Let's see if I got this right here. So page up or down?
Down.
I'm on the page one. Oh, there we go. There are three. Critical race theory, maybe you've heard of that. The next one that I've heard about, maybe I need to
go down. Pointing towards the projector.
The projector. Oh, there we go. That's what it is. That's why I was laying like that, huh? I'm catching on, huh? Take a little discernment, right? Progressive Christianity. Have any of you heard of any of these?
Yes.
All right, yeah, there's a lot of this stuff out. And then the other one is Christian nationalism. Is America a Christian nation? Or in particular, should we make it a Christian nation is another key piece. All of these pieces are impacting churches. In fact, if you've been paying attention to some of the Christian news, the Southern Baptist Convention just had a very contentious, at times, issue over the critical race theory and stuff like that. So we're getting bombarded as Christians and as a church with all these timely messages. But the question as Christians is this timely truth? Is this from the Lord? And part of the reason why God gives the gift of spiritual discernment is to help the church answer that question. And so as I've been looking through the scriptures, I started to kind of work on a kind of a working definition. But before I get to that, one of the reasons why I think this message or this truth is so important for us today is one of the best definitions I've ever heard of deception are nine false truths followed by a lie or a falsehood. Why is that? The devil loves to use truth to lead us astray. It gets us to trust the nine, and then he slips in there the falsehood that starts to deviate you, and as a result, your life craters. If you've ever bought a lie, so to speak, if you ever believed a lie, has it ever turned out well for you? No. Even from people you sometimes trust, right? It hurts. It impacts our lives. And that's why discernment is so critical. Here's what I think the scriptures teach that discernment is. Discernment distinguishes and discards error from spiritual truth. There are two components to discernment. By the way, I see you writing a note. I forgot to bring the notes that I have for our church. If you would like some, I will try to get them to you. It has all the scripture plus some and a few other things, and I can make sure that the blanks are filled in. So I apologize for not getting that, but I'll try to leave it up there for those of you who like to be note takers. Discernment distinguishes and discards error from spiritual truth. So we're not talking about math. We're not talking about science per se. We're talking about things that impact people's eternal lives and destiny. All right, that's what spiritual truth is focused on. And one of the things that kind of surprised me as I was looking at the scriptures is it made sense that discernment distinguishes error from truth. But there is this sense as well as once you've distinguished error from truth that it says, you know what, error needs to be gone. It gets rid of as well spiritual error. Let me take you to the only passage where discernment is given as a spiritual gift. And did you get that note? Did everyone who's writing down get that completed? It comes from 1 Corinthians 10:8 and the beginning of verse 10. This is where Paul's listing a number of spiritual gifts, and he says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, so you need to see the prophecy, that timely truth comes, and then right after that, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits. I've always studied this, and there's also another similar passage in 1 John. Why does he say distinguish between spirits? I used to think, oh, Holy Spirit and maybe demonic spirits or something along those lines. After studying this passage this past week, I really think what Paul is talking about, he's talking about human spirits. And he's talking about a time when we as human beings become absolutely convinced or convicted that what we know or what we are about to say is the absolute truth. Right? And so I think what he is saying is if you're ever in a situation and someone is talking to you about spiritual matters and you can just tell they are absolutely convinced or convicted that what they're saying is the truth, what Paul is saying is that God gives the spiritual gift of discernment to help you discern or help you to know how much of what they're saying is true. Is it entirely true or is it false? Okay? So that is where he gives to some people the ability to distinguish spirits. Now, obviously, if you're familiar with the scriptures, we know that we all don't have the spiritual gift of discernment, right? But it is something we are all supposed to do. Why do I say that? The next passage, Hebrews 5:14, talks about this. Solid food is for the mature. Those of us who have known the scriptures and studied the scriptures, we love the theology, we love those kinds of things of the truth. For those, and who is a mature person? For those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil. So there you see part of the gift of discernment is being able to say, okay, this is right, this is wrong. This is truth, this is error. And that is true for all of us. We are all supposed to be, when we interact with people, when we hear things on the television or things on, read stuff online, we all need to be asking the question, is this truth from God as it relates to spiritual matters and how it impacts us? Okay? The difference between this being true for all of us and this be true for those who have the spiritual gift of discernment is like me and my sister learning how to play the piano as kids. All right? Got a picture of me way back when, and my sister, she's 3 years younger. We both practiced playing the piano the same amount of time. She was 3 years younger, and at my age, she was practicing and practicing just as I was practicing. But you know what? One of us had more skill at playing the piano, and it didn't matter how much that person practiced, the other person always seemed to do better. Guess who that was in our family? It was my sister. She had the gift, as it were, of playing the piano. I learned, I got better at it, but I never could get my fingers to do what Dan Conrad's fingers could do, all right? Or at least not as easily as it probably comes to him. And so that's the example as well of the difference between spiritual gifts that God gives to some people. There are some people that are in a moment because of just God's gift on, they can distinguish right away or pretty quickly the key issues, identify what is error, and then say, hey, guess what? This is the stuff we got to get rid of. These are the errors that are part of that message that we're getting. All right? So that's the difference between the spiritual gift and something that we all need to be doing and practicing. All right? Let's look at another passage. It's the passage we read just a few minutes ago. Do not despise prophecy. So there again, you got this timely message. In particular, the focus here is on that they're true, but test or examine everything. We need to ask the question, is this what the Lord is wanting me to hear and learn? And by the way, as pastors, we often don't like that, but really, if we study and believe God's word, that applies whether it's Pastor Troy or Pastor John. Obviously, we are trying to understand God's word and give that to you. Sometimes it comes out wrong because the mouth doesn't work like we would like. But ultimately, as Christians, we need to be always asking, is this from the Lord? Is the Spirit trying to say something to me? Are they using the word of God correctly so that I know I am bringing only truth into my heart and my life? All right, so here. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain. Get rid of every form of evil. So when you get those timely messages, is this from the Lord? Once you've been able to distinguish what is true and false, get rid of the false. Discard it because it will hurt or impact or damage your life. Why is that the case? We talked about how falsehoods, anytime you've believed a lie or deception, it's never one good. The scriptures say there are a lot of different forms of falsehoods in this world. Take a look at Matthew 24:24. False Christs and false prophets will arise. And now look what Jesus says. This is Jesus talking about the end times. False prophets. A false prophet is someone who's teaching truth or is claiming to teach truth that is contradictory to the scriptures. So it's heretical. It is dead, flat out wrong. And yet, Jesus says those kinds of teachers will try to prove that what they're teaching is true on the basis of the fact that they will perform great signs and wonders. They will perform miracles. In fact, it will be so convincing that it would even be, if possible, lead the elect or those who are saved into deception if that were possible. I mean, that's how powerful their miracles are. So just because they can do something great The key question is not are they doing something great, not if it's a miracle or not. Are what they saying align with God's word? Because truth matters. That is what false prophets do. And honestly, we encounter false prophets a lot. You ever get a timely knock on your door, and now I think they're sending a timely letter because of COVID from someone on the Jehovah's Witness? They say they use the same scriptures that we do, but they twist the interpretation of God's word. We've always got to be on the watch, especially as new beliefs and things are said. So false prophets are there. Also, I should mention, Peter says in 2 Peter, it's not just false prophets we need to watch out for. We also need to watch out for false teachers as well. So people who, quote, claim to be preaching from the word sometimes twist the scriptures. The next area is what I call not a false prophet, but a fake prophet. You've got to watch out for fake prophets. There's some fake prophets around. This comes from Jesus' words in Matthew 7, 22 and 23. On that day, many will say to me, and this is at the end of the days when Jesus is evaluating people's lives, Lord, Lord, did we not, this is interesting, prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many works in your name. The false prophets don't claim to be, in that sense, speaking for Jesus. They're trying to present and lead you to a different way. These people, though, they say, hey, we're speaking for Jesus. We're prophesying. We're casting out demons. We're doing many works in his name. What does Jesus say? He didn't say, well, you're wrong on those other things. No, he actually says, you know, you're right, except I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. They're hypocrites. They're living for themselves. All they care about is making their life better. And if they can use the gospel and God's word, so be it. But boy, I have seen people's lives impacted in negative ways because of such fake prophets and teachers. And an example of that is, guess what? The prosperity gospel. Jesus came to save you and to build your bank account. Right? One level, I wish that were the case. But by golly, when people who believe that stuff because people are trying to get more offerings, when they go through a difficult situation, it means they're not believing in Jesus. And yet Jesus was crucified for following the Lord. Can we expect anything less? Wreaks havoc on people's faith. The last one that I would talk about is what I would call faulty prophets or faulty teachers. And unfortunately, I have to at times put myself in this category. This is where we are Christians, but every now and then we say something that we just doesn't quite line up with what God says. We've all been there, right? Faulty Christians, right? Here's where that comes from in Deuteronomy 18:22. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or is not true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously. There have been times where I've just had to go back to someone and say, I am sorry, I overstated something, or I've got to retract that. Will you forgive me? You need not be afraid of them. I read in a pastor's article of this pastor. I don't know if you're, I know we're very similar. We're not very charismatic or Pentecostal at our church, is what I understand of you guys. But this is a charismatic Christian, a brother, a pastor. And he had a good friend that was attending their church. She was a lady. His kids knew her as Auntie. And she had severe cancer. And she hadn't been able to attend for a number of weeks. And then all of a sudden, she got some new life and she was able to attend. And he said in the middle of the service, thus saith the Holy Spirit, this sickness will not lead to your death. 3 weeks later, she died. And his daughter came to him crying in tears, Daddy, 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 I don't understand. You said God said she wouldn't die. What happened? And he basically said, I was wrong. I give him credit. He said, I was faulty. I did not hear and listen to God as I should. And then he goes on to say, and when that happens, it impacts, it tears up people's lives, sometime for a long, long time. That is why falsehood is so deadly in the church. In fact, another person who claimed to do prophecy and then ended up confessing about it because it didn't come true, he said he got more people upset because he made the confession than that he was, than what he said was false. Folks, the truth has got to be the heart and center of our Christian faith. If it's not, we're just playing a game. And that's why God gave the spiritual gift of discernment. So that's why it's important that we have discernment in our lives. How do we go about then discerning, right? That becomes a key issue. 1 Corinthians 14:29-30 is still part of this spiritual gifts passage. Paul, I think, gives the only place where he gives some instructions as far as the process. First, let two or three prophets speak. So this is in a church setting, but when you are interacting and someone gives you a timely message, you feel like it's a timely message, the first thing you need to do is listen well. Notice he says, let two or three speak. So that means everyone else is just quiet and listening. Then he says, then let the others. The others here is not just the other prophets that had the gift of prophecy or even those that give the gift of discernment, but the whole church. Everyone weigh what is said. So they would think through based on what they remembered of the messages from the Apostle Paul or other apostles. They'd think through what did God say in the Old Testament. They would say, okay, does this line up with that truth? Then he says, even if a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. So sometimes you get this timely message and someone else comes in and says, well, this is, listen to them. There needs to be a recognition. I don't have the corner on what God is trying to speak into your heart and life. Allow others as well. Right? We sometimes like to be God to others, but we're not. I'm just a vessel that God can use. So that's basically the process. Listen, yield if necessary, weigh and examine, and then respond. Lastly, what I want to do is go through the criteria of how do we then weigh what is said. How do we recognize if something it truly is from the Lord or not? Well, the next passage, well, that's going the wrong direction, is Deuteronomy 18:10. Here, this passage probably, I think, like no other, just demonstrates just how important truth is to God for his people. Look how Moses starts out. There shall not be found any among you, talking to the Israelites, anyone who burns his son or daughter as an offering. No child sacrifice. I mean, that's horrific, right? In our minds, the thought of someone sacrificing their child to worship some kind of deity is just horrific. Right alongside of that, look what God says is just like that. Also, anyone who practices divination, tells the fortune, interprets omens, consults a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or one who inquires from the dead. For whoever does all these things is an abomination to the Lord. Wow. Consulting the zodiac, almost like you're burning your kid, according to God. You only want truth that comes from God. Right? What matters first and foremost is who is this person saying the source of their message comes from? If it's not from God or his word, get rid of it. Ignore it. It's dangerous. Error lies with it. So first of all, it needs to be coming from God. Second, truly needs to be biblical. Take a look at 1 John 4:1-12. Beloved, Do not believe every spirit. Same kind of an idea here. Anyone who's convinced that what they're telling you is the truth, don't believe them offhand, but rather test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you shall know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is Christ, Jesus is King, their Lord of his life or her life, and that he has come from the flesh is from God. So basically he's saying orthodoxy. What the scriptures teach, if that is an alignment, that is another key indication that yes, this might be from the Lord. This might be a timely message that God wants you to hear and live and respond to. The third, we've already looked at, speaking presumptuously, and that is that it actually turns out to be true. Right? Sometimes, like Jonah, came and told Nineveh and said, hey, 40 days God's going to destroy this town. Did it happen? No. But that wasn't all of his message, was it?
No.
All of his message was basically, this is going to happen. God is going to judge if you don't repent. Yeah. So sometimes it doesn't come true, but it's because God didn't want it to come true. He wants people to repent. But most circumstances, it's got to be in alignment with the truth, unless the truth is, change your life, live for the Lord, kind of an idea. The last one I find is very, very curious. It comes in Acts. The Apostle Paul, which is kind of interesting if you remember when he was called into missions, he was there with Barnabas, and they're in the church in Antioch, and there are prophets there. You remember how it said during the middle of a worship service, the Holy Spirit came and said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the ministry, for the missions work I have for them. Do you know what the next verse says? They fasted and prayed. Why? They're trying to weigh whether or not this truly was from the Lord. They ended up sensing in their heart, you know what? God is calling us to missions work. So they lay hands on them, send them out. Fast forward to 3 mission journeys later, Paul is coming back to Jerusalem to worship in Jerusalem. And that's where we pick up Acts 21, verses 10 and 11. He's just landed in Caesarea there on the shores of the Mediterranean Sea. And as Paul and Luke and the others were staying there for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own feet and hands, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and delivers him into the hands of Gentiles. Here's a timely message where he's basically saying Paul is going to be thrown in jail if he goes to Jerusalem. This comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, what's fascinating is how people respond to this timely message, which we end up learning is truth, right? So we know this is true. How do the people respond? Well, Luke and everyone else, look what they say. When we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go to Jerusalem. We don't want you to be thrown in jail, Paul. We want you to stay out and continue to do the work of ministry. But look how Paul responds. Then Paul answered, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Since he would not be persuaded, we ceased trying to convince him not to go to Jerusalem and said, let the will of the Lord be done. Here Paul gets a timely message that says you're going to be thrown in jail. It could impact your ministry. Everyone else thinks, duh, don't go. Paul says no. Why in the world would Paul say no? Glad you asked. Here's the answer. Chapter earlier, Paul said this, the Holy Spirit testifies to me that in every city, I'm going to face imprisonment and afflictions that await me. He's just like, yeah, no duh. This is what God has already been doing in my heart and my life. I can't go to another city because of fear of getting thrown in jail. Why? Because that's what's going to happen. And so he says, I'm going to Jerusalem because that is how God has been working in my heart and my life. There are times where you get a message and someone thinks it's not a right or wrong in the sense of, you know, a moral issue in the scriptures. It's kind of a judgment call. And they think you should take one direction. Well, it's important that we weigh that. Is this consistent with how God has been working in our hearts and lives? You don't know this, but my wife and I were unable to have children through natural purposes or natural means. And so one of the questions is, do we adopt? We've had a number of people come to, we think you should adopt. We have always felt and said, we will adopt if the Lord lays us on our heart and provides us the opportunity. And it's really interesting. There's been a couple of times where God brought us to that edge and then worked in such a way and where we sense that he's saying, you know what? Physical children in your home is not what I'm calling to you at this point. That's part of weighing. That's part of the discernment that we need. It's not that children are bad or evil. Don't give me that at all. We wish we could have had children and loved children. The question is, what does God want from me? What is the truth that he is trying to lead us in? And so at times, it's appropriate for us to ask, is this loving, timely message, is this really what God is asking of me? All right? So, let's bring it home. Talk about some specifics. Here's the key point that I think you should take home with you. Weigh what is said with God's ways. Weigh whatever is said with God's ways. What I mean by God's ways? What we saw about. Listen well. Yield to others. Allow others to give voice and speak into your life. Consider the scriptures. Is this something that God allows us to do or not, does not allow us to do? Is this appropriate for my life given how God has been leading? That's what I'm talking about. Weigh what is said with God's ways. Go through that process. Ultimately, if you find and recognize someone with the gift of discernment, someone who's just able to really hit the nail on the head, as it were, time and time again, I would ask them, right? What do you think? Here's what's going on in my... That's why the gifts of the body are for the gifts of, or for the benefit of the body. Come together, discuss those things. There are two dangers we need to watch out for when it comes to such matters. It's really easy to accept the convictions of others. You know, say, oh, you got to believe this. Why? Because it's a lot of work to do this. It's a lot of time, prayer, energy, study. Sometimes we just like to do it easy. You know what? Normally God does not want to do it easy. He's trying to build our faith. Are we willing to trust him? The analogy here, I think, it's like being a TSA agent. You have to be right every time. The terrorist only has to be right once. We kind of complain about the TSA agents, but by golly, if they catch the person trying to bring a bomb onto your plane, you're happy that you got to take your shoes off, right? That's how important the truth of God's word is. Don't take the easy route. Weigh what is being said. The other component we also sometimes struggle with is we like the yes men. We like people to always agree with us easily without thinking. That's not a value in the scriptures. The value in the scriptures, yes, I want to say yes, but it's because we've weighed it and yes, this was a timely message. In fact, I think we can say it's a timely truth from the Lord. So what do? Pray. God, give me insight. Study his word. Pull out your concordance. Try to find scriptures that relate to the issue that's going on. Talk to your pastor. Pastor John, he does have some discernment. I do know that. He has spoken some timely words into my heart and my life over the years, for which I'm eternally grateful. Consult fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Study the scriptures. And then, once you have concluded, is this something to be rejected? Reject it. If it's something to be believed and done, follow it. And you will be blessed. I want to end going back with those three elements, but before I do, I want to give thanks to the Gospel Coalition. I don't know if you know about this organization, but they have a lot of people with the gift of discernment in their Christian ministry. And you can find the Gospel Coalition online. And I looked up these three things because two of those, I didn't know a lot. I've heard a lot, but I didn't know a lot about critical race theory or progressive Christianity, and just generally. So I looked them up. And so I think they have some gifts of discernment when it comes to contemporary issues. Critical race theory, one of the things that I learned is it's started because there is prejudice and abuse in American society. That's about all the truth that is in critical race theory. That it can happen through government and through positions of power, but from that point on, I think instead of, you know, nine truths followed by a lie, it's one truth followed by nine lies. You know, there's a lot of things that are said that are just do not square with the scriptures. But yes, there are. It is a timely message. Our nation is in serious challenge and trouble because we do not know how to love and respect people who are different than us and treat them in appropriate ways, in the ways in which God has. We don't have a lot of African Americans, but even the tribal people. You know, we need to, as a community, do our best to demonstrate how God has made the image of God in each one of us. That doesn't mean you don't throw someone in jail who did something wrong. You do. But that doesn't mean we then say or do things that are inappropriate before the eyes of God. Second, progressive Christianity. I had a sense of what this is, but when the more I looked at it, the more I was just shocked by it. Basically, progressive Christianity views the Bible as basically a human book. Already wrong. You know, all scripture is God-breathed. It's not just a mere human book. They also go on to say that often Jesus wasn't born of a virgin. He's not God. They reject all kinds of things, like even his resurrection. The problem is they'll use a lot of those terms. They just redefine them. And so that's why it's so important for us to weigh, okay, this is the words they're using. What do they mean by those words? Because if you remember Christ's temptation, number two, Satan himself is more than willing to quote the scriptures to get you to go the wrong direction. He doesn't really care what the scriptures mean as long as he gets you to go in the direction he wants you to go. So beware of progressive Christianity. Make sure your pastor or teacher or materials, Bible study materials, that the terms they use align with the scriptures. The last one, in terms of Christian nationalism. Basically, what Christian nationalism, it's where it takes patriotism and turns it into an idol. It's basically where if God does not have the United States as a Christian nation, he's not going to be able to do everything that he wants to do in this world. Friends, God is not in the business. God is not in the business of using America for his purposes. Yes, he does. But he is in the business of seeing people get saved, making disciples. Not just of America, but of all nations. God loves Chinese and Russians and even Canadians, right? As much as he loves Americans. Our job is not to make this nation Christian. Our job is to call this nation to Christ. That does not mean we do not get informed about how to vote. It does not mean we do not learn and study and call our leaders when they advocate for stuff like abortion to stop that. We do. But the goal is not to make this nation Christian. The goal is to introduce this nation to Christ and how he knows and loves us. So discernment is necessary. The question is, are you willing to do the work to weigh whatever you hear according to the truths found in God's word. If you do, if you're willing to pray, if you're willing to listen, if you're willing to ask questions, and then study the scriptures, ask pastors or other godly friends who have insight, I have found that when God sees your heart and its willingness to do what he is asking, he has a way of leading you down good and right paths where there is no regret. Because that's where truth always leads. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for your goodness and your provision in this wonderful spiritual gift. I don't know this congregation well enough to know who may or may not have the spiritual gift of discernment. But I do know that you will give this gift to this church if and when it is ever needed. Thank you so much for the broader body of Christ, where online we can find or listen on radio people who definitely have, like the Gospel Coalition, the gift of discernment, who are able to look at messages that are being broadcast around this world and in our nation and are able to point out, hey, this is true, this is false, watch out for that, and embrace the truth of God's word. I pray that you would continue to give blessing and goodness to be poured out on Pastor John, especially as he travels and visits family this week. Bring him back safely to these people he loves and that love him this coming week. Thank you for the opportunity to bring your word to these dear people, brothers and sisters in Christ, who someday I will get to know a lot better than just today, as we spend all of eternity rejoicing in the truth of your word, for which we are able to celebrate in eternity in your presence, all because of what Christ has done for our lives. We ask this in your name. Amen. Thank you.
I guess, you know, 10 pounds. I'm going to say, 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 then I'm going to start in January.
Through the summer, and then you're meeting. Did you get any, bills? Numbers or anything from the support group?
I'm glad you called.
I guess we get the message.
Purse.
Hey, we'll see y'all later.
Have a good week.
Safe
trip back.
Yeah. I need to drive into the sun.
This recording was fine.
Oh.
Closing.
We'll wait a few hours.
Still recording.
No. I'll get on the sun.